I'm Michael Mazzalongo, and this is Bible Talk. That more copies of the Bible exist in the world more than any other book. It has been translated into more languages, distributed in more countries, made accessible to more people than any other publication since the invention of the printing press. And yet, the majority of people who own Bibles don't read them or refuse to follow the teachings that the Bible gives. Well, today on Bible Talk, we're going to try to understand why people continually reject the Bible and its teachings. So we invite you to stay with us as we try to answer this very difficult question. We'll be right back right after this. All right, well, I think we're ready for our Bible study today. I want you to take your Bibles out to Romans, please, in the New Testament. And if you people at home have a Bible, please take it out, open it to Romans chapter 10, and we're going to read a scripture to begin our lesson today, verse 16 and 17. Here Paul is talking about the gospel. And he says, "But not everyone who hears the good news has welcomed it. For Isaiah the prophet said, 'Lord, who has believed me when I told them?' And yet faith comes from listening to this good news," the good news about Christ. Well, one of the things that this scripture teaches, among others, is this. The only way that people will come to salvation, will come to faith, will come to believing, is by hearing the gospel, the good news. That's another way of saying the gospel. In other words, you're not born with faith. Okay, like you're born with two eyes and two ears and you can go ma, ma, and this and that, but you're not born with faith. Faith is not something that is that you're born with. Faith is learned. You learn it. Okay, and that's what Paul is saying here. You cannot learn about faith, you cannot learn the facts about faith unless you hear the information. And the information is contained in the gospel, the good news. And the good news is contained in the Bible. Alright, since I've been a Christian, and since I've been a preacher, I've had a lot of Bible studies with people, either in groups or alone. And I often hear reasons why people reject the Bible. Like they say, well, I don't reject the Bible, I don't believe it, or I don't accept it because, and then you can kind of fill in the blank. And today, I've kind of gone into my drawers and I've pulled out the very best excuses that I've heard in 10 years, why people refuse to accept the Bible. Here's the first one. They say this, "I reject the authority of the Bible because, well, it depends on your interpretation." That's just your interpretation. You ever hear that? I'm sure, I've heard that lots of times. Now, the argument here is this. And it's a good argument, and I don't blame people for thinking this. This has been their experience. They see 15 different church groups taking the same Bible and teaching 100 different things. Right? Yeah. How can you blame somebody? You know, you go to one group and you ask them a question about a Bible subject, they give you one answer. You go to another group, they take the same Bible, they give you another answer. So eventually people kind of get fed up and they say, well, I guess it's just your own interpretation. So they get their interpretation and they live with that. Well, the unfortunate thing about this is that people get into their minds the idea that the Bible itself teaches different things about the same subject. And that's just not so. The Bible teaches the same thing about one subject from beginning to end. If we look at Ephesians, let's look at another scripture here to give us an idea of what the Bible teaches. What does the Bible say about that? Maybe that's what I'm trying to get at. What does the Bible teach about what it teaches? Okay? Ephesians chapter 4. There's a good scripture where Paul talks about this particular problem. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read this, and I want you to read this along with me. Verse 4, here Paul is saying, "We are all parts of one body." Of course, when he says we, he means we, Christians, all right? He says, "We are all parts of one body. We have the same spirit, and we have all been called to the same glorious future. For us, there is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and we all same God and Father who is over us, who is over us all and in us all and living through every part of us." Now, you know how long ago Paul wrote this? He didn't write this yesterday. I mean, this was written 2,000 years ago. So it means that in the first century, okay, Christians understood that there was only one particular teaching about God. Only one particular teaching about Jesus Christ. Only one particular teaching about the church, about baptism, and so on and so on. There weren't 50 different teachings about Jesus Christ. You know, one apostle didn't go to one town and say that, well, Jesus is just a prophet. And then some other apostle went to another town saying, well, no, he's not really a prophet. He's the Son of God. And then you got some third apostle going around saying, nah, those guys are wrong. He's really an angel. And then you get some fourth apostle saying, well, my opinion personally is that Jesus is just a great teacher. This didn't happen in the first century. You had 12 apostles and you had their disciples, and wherever you went in any church, in any Christian group, whoever stood up to teach, let us say he was teaching about Jesus, would teach the same thing. That Jesus Christ was the Messiah, that he was the Lord, that he was God, that he was the Savior, that he died, that he resurrected, and so on and so forth. There was only one teaching about Jesus Christ, not 15 different teachings. So the Bible itself teaches us that when it gives us information, it gives us the same information on each topic that we cover. Let's look at another scripture. Jude chapter 3. You know what that is? Jude chapter 3. That's a tiny little epistle right at the end of the Bible. And for those of you who are at home, Jude is the last epistle before the book of Revelation. So that gives you an idea of where to find it. Jude. Only one chapter in Jude. Look at Jude verse 3. This also was written in the first century. Here the writer says, "Dearly loved friends." Again, he's talking to Christians. He says, "I had been planning to write to you some thoughts about the salvation God has given us. But now I find I must write of something else instead, urging you to stoutly defend the truth which God gave once for all to his people to keep without change through the years." Does that sound complicated? Is it just me, or does that sound complicated? That doesn't sound complicated to me. Does it sound complicated to you? What's he saying here? He's saying, hey, You have been given a certain amount of teaching. And that teaching has been given to you just one time. One body of information. Your job is to understand that teaching. Your job is to preserve that teaching. Don't change it, just preserve it. Your job is to do it. And your job is to pass it on to the next generation. Did you know that our job as Christians in this generation, aside from living holy lives, is to pass on the information we have here to the next generation? That's our job. Not to change it. We don't need councils. We don't need, quote, religious councils to twist the scriptures and, you know, make up religious rules. We're good at making up religious rules, I tell you. We make lots of religious rules. But God said to us, don't do that. Don't add stuff. Don't change stuff. Don't take away stuff. Don't twist it around. Just leave it as it is. It was given to you that way. Leave it as it is. And just pass it on from generation to generation. Now, this argument, you know, that the Bible is too complex, isn't so. Some people say, well, it depends on your interpretation. You know? Other people, you know what they say? They say, I can't understand it. Did you ever hear that argument before? I can't understand it. The Bible is full of symbols and parables. It's just too complex for my little mind. You know where that comes from, that thinking? That thinking comes from the Middle Ages. That was fostered on people. That was jammed down people's throats in the Middle Ages. And when somebody says that in our century, it shows that they're still thinking like they're thinking in the Dark Ages. This idea that people can't understand the Bible. This idea that we're not able to understand what God has given to us was foisted upon us by a religious denomination who ruled the world in the Middle Ages. It's not true. It's just not true. We can understand what has been written here. Do you know, I'll give you a personal testimony. My time to witness. When I started reading the Bible, do you know what somebody said to me? Someone said to me, if you keep reading the Bible, you're going to go crazy. Now, of course, there's some people that think that that has happened, you know, mind you, but I don't think so. Well, I'm serious. You know, you laugh, eh? I'm serious. Some people said to me, boy, you keep with that Bible stuff, you're going to go crazy. You know, sure, crazy. Do a, you know, crazy like a fox. I'll tell you something else I saw. And I wish I had the newspaper. You know, it reminds me, I should have got the newspaper. I could show you. But a front page. We're not talking like a little box, you know, on page 9, you know, or in the classified. I'm talking on the front page in big, bold letters of a daily newspaper, a major newspaper. This was the headline. The headline read, "Man kills wife and commits suicide after reading Bible." I mean, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this nonsense? I mean, it's in the Bible that Jesus says, love your enemies. Bless those that persecute you. Forgive. You know, give yourself. Live holy life, and so on and so forth. It's in the Bible that Jesus is saying that. Is that the kind of teaching that moves someone to kill another human being and then take his own life? I don't think so. And yet, this crazy idea that this information here has been given to us in order to destroy our minds, people keep, you know, kind of generating this idea. You know why? They don't want people to read it. Because the minute you start reading the Bible, you know what happens? I'll tell you what happens. You begin to move away from your traditional religious ideas.
Amen.
And you begin to replace traditional religious ideas with the truth. Amen. And that's what people don't want. They like to keep you down. Ignorant. Keep them ignorant. You don't have to be ignorant. Do you know why people believe the things that I've just told you about? You know why people believe it depends on your interpretation, or they believe it's too complex? You know why they believe that? I'll tell you why. Because they have never bothered to read it for themselves. That's right. You know, I have arguments with guys, you know, and they say, well, the Bible says this, and the yakety yakety yak. And I just say, wait a minute. You know, I cut through all this stuff, and I say to them, have you ever read the Bible? Read the Bible? No. I said, well, what makes you such a big expert to reject it, you know? And that's one of the reasons why people say that. It depends on your interpretation, or it's too hard. They've never read it. Another reason why they say that is that the people who teach them about religion are themselves prisoners of these ideas. The majority of the religious teachers actually think that this is a book that should be there, that you should kiss, bless, kneel in front, bow in front. That's what they think. And so if that's the guy who's teaching you about the Bible, what are you going to think? Well, you're going to kiss it, bless it, bump it. You're going to do all kinds of things, but you're not going to read it. You're not going to read it. You know, I remember there was a guy who told me, you know what he used to do? He used to sell Bibles door to door. And he said, you know, the kind of Bibles that people bought the most? These huge Bibles, you know, this big with the fancy lettering. And you know where they put it? Right on their coffee table. It's like an ornament, a lucky charm. You know, I got my rabbit's foot, I got my little spoon, I got my Bible. You know, I got all the tools, you know, to get me out of this life. And he said, have you read it? No, they haven't read it. That's why people think like that. All right. When we come back, we're going to do a little experiment. And we're going to find out if it really is that difficult. I'm going to try to teach you something that the Bible teaches. So stay with us. Keep your Bibles in your hand. And when we come back, we're going to do a little study and see if it's all that tough. We'll be right back after this. Okay, let's get back to our class, my friends, and try to answer that question. We left off a while ago asking the question, is the Bible too difficult for us to understand? Is it really too tough for us? Is it a mystery? Is there something on the side of the book here that says, reading this book can be hazardous to your brain? You know, I mean, does it... Actually, you know what should be written at the bottom in the back? Should be written, reading this book can be hazardous to your death.
Yes.
You think of that, eh? Okay, I thought you'd like that one. All right, let's open it up. Let's stop talking about the cover. Let's open it up. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And I invite our home audience to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, and we're going to look at this passage and see what it says. Here Paul, the apostle, is talking to Timothy. That's why they call it Epistle to Timothy. He's a young evangelist, and he's giving him some instructions. And he says, "Work hard so God can say to you, well done. Be a good workman, one who does not need to be ashamed when God examines your work. Know what His Word says and means." You see what Paul is saying to him? Is Paul saying to him, now don't forget, this is Paul the Apostle. Is he saying to him, hey, better stay away from that Bible, boy. That's dangerous stuff. No. He says the exact opposite. He says, you have got to work hard. You've got to study. You've got to apply yourself to understand what this says here, so that when you appear before God, you won't be ashamed of what you've taught and what you've understood. You can understand. That doesn't mean that it's easy. You know, we're not saying, hey, this is simple, that it doesn't require effort. You know, I figure if a person can learn to become an electrician, which is a fairly complex trade, or a person can learn to be a television director or something else, he certainly can learn how to read and understand this book. It isn't beyond man's understanding. Let's look at another scripture in 2 Timothy again, but this time chapter 3, verse 15. Here Paul is saying, you know how when you were a small child, you were taught the Holy Scriptures. And it is these that make you wise to accept God's salvation by trusting in Jesus Christ. What's he saying here? He is saying, you started to learn the Scriptures when? When you were in seminary? When you were, you know, when you were a big-time theologian? When you had your college degree, then you were smart enough to start studying the Bible? No. Again, he says the opposite. He says, when you were a little kid, your mother, when we find this out later in Timothy or earlier in Timothy, when you were a little kid, you learned the Holy Scriptures. And they gave you wisdom that drew you to God and made you what you are today. You see, the idea is this. I mean, I don't want to offend anybody. But we start out dumb, you see. We don't start out smart. We start out dumb. We start out kneeling down in front of stones and rocks and trees, and we're worshiping the sun. And you know, we've got little beads that we're carrying around, and we're falling down in front of pictures and statues. You know, we start out like that in our religious life. And as we read the Bible, we get smart. And we realize that we don't kneel down in front of rocks and statues and the moon and the stars and all that kind of stuff. And we find out that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we become intelligent and wise unto salvation. Now, is there a way to study? Of course there's a way to study. You know, I see some people, they read the Bible and they just dive in, you know. The book of Leviticus, I think I'm going to read, you know. Wow. They never opened the Bible in their whole lives, so what are they going to do? They're going to read about the Old Testament priesthood. You know, well, that's very interesting, but it's heavy going. You know, it's heavy going if you've never read. See, there's a way to study the Bible so that it can become understandable for you. And that's what we're going to do with the time that we have left in our class. Let us say you want to understand something about a particular subject, okay? Let's say you want to understand something. What do? Well, you go to the places in the Bible that talk about that thing, and you read all the passages, okay? And then you note all the information that is listed in those passages, and then when you're finished, you put it all together, and you've got like a kind of an overview of what it says. We're going to do that with a subject that I think everybody here is familiar with, but everybody at one time or another experiences, and that's the subject of baptism. I think everybody has understood or experienced in their lives or in their family this idea, this religious rite called baptism. Now, if we want to know what does the Bible teach about baptism, for example, how are we going to do it? Well, we're going to go to the passages that teach about baptism. So let's do that right now. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 28. And I invite our people at home to turn to Matthew chapter 28. I want you to learn something, too. This program's for you. This one's for you. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Now, this is Matthew, Jesus' apostle, was taught directly from Jesus or by Jesus, so you can kind of understand that Matthew knows what he's talking about. He says in Matthew 28:18, here Jesus is saying, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Boy, that's pretty clear, isn't it? Jesus says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So we know that who's got authority. Then he says, therefore go and make disciples in all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What do you learn here? Well, you find out that everybody's got to be baptized. Make disciples of all nations, black, white, green, yellow. Everybody has got to be baptized. All nations, poor, rich. It doesn't matter. You know what? It doesn't matter what religion you have now. You've ultimately have to come to the realization that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you've got to be baptized. Everybody. So that's the first thing we learn. Okay. Thank you for that. Amen. Let's look at Mark chapter 16. Verse 16. Mark chapter 16. Verse 16. And that's another thing. You don't jump around from beginning to end. You kind of go from the beginning and you work your way through. So Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Here, Mark says that Jesus, now Jesus is the one who's talking. He says, those who believe and are baptized will be saved. But those who refuse to believe will be condemned. That's pretty, does that depend on your interpretation? I mean, you know, it's pretty clear, you know. It doesn't matter if you agree or not. We're not talking agree with me or don't agree with me. What we're talking about is, what does the Bible teach about baptism? It teaches that everybody must be baptized. And in this passage it says, those who believe, you know, in Jesus Christ, and are baptized, will be. It's like an equation. You believe plus you're baptized equals you will be saved. That's pretty clear. Pretty straightforward. It also eliminates another idea. Do little babies have to be baptized?
No.
No. Why? They can't believe. They can't believe. You see, that's why people first have to understand, believe, then they're baptized, then they're saved. All right, let's look at one last scripture, okay? Acts chapter 2, that's all the time we're having today to look at this. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Here Peter the apostle is preaching to a big crowd, and he says to them, repent. And let's read it. I won't quote it. Let's read it. It says, each one of you must turn from sin, return to God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. What does it teach us here? You have to be baptized in order to receive forgiveness for your sins. Okay? Now, what have we learned? Just in three scriptures. Everybody needs to be baptized. Everybody needs to be believed. You're only saved after you're baptized and you receive forgiveness of sins. Okay, when we come back, we're going to summarize everything that we've learned in this lesson. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, that's all the time that we have today on our edition of Bible Talk. However, I do encourage you to become daily Bible readers if you can. And if you do want to read the Bible every day, here are a couple of tips to help you acquire this habit. First of all, try to read every single day at the same time. That's how you can develop a regular habit of Bible reading. Secondly, try to read a little bit from the Old Testament and from the New Testament each day. That way you'll have a mixture of teachings from God's Word. Next, pray for understanding. You know, God wants you to understand His Word. That is His desire. So ask Him to make clear to you the things that you're reading. And finally, try to read the Bible through in 1 year. In other words, set up the objective that you're going to read all of His Word one time in one calendar year. And that'll give you the kind of motivation you need when it comes to those days that you really don't feel like reading. Now, if you do begin to read, try to remember some of the things that we learned today in our class study about the Bible. For example, we learned that the Bible teaches the very same things about each subject that it addresses. In other words, there are no contradictions in the Bible. For example, at the beginning of the New Testament, the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then throughout the New Testament, as we go on through the epistles, we find out that the apostles continue to describe Jesus as the Son of God, as a divine person. And even at the end of the Bible, we find out that John John, in his book, Revelation, describes Jesus in exactly the same way that he was described at the beginning of the New Testament, a divine being. So there are no contradictions about things that the Bible teaches throughout the Old or the New Testament. Finally, in the end, we have to realize that the Bible will be the criteria that God will use in order to judge us. I read you a passage from John chapter 12, verse 48, where Jesus says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." So that's what's going to judge us in the end, God's word. So it's very important that we know it. Well, that's all the time that we have for this week. We hope that you've enjoyed your study with us, and we hope that you'll be back next week for another edition of Bible Talk. Have a good week, and God bless you.